At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 15th day of October 2023. And the title of my message was Gaza Then and Now. And as I was writing this sermon yesterday, I've been watching live coverage of the Israeli assault on Gaza. Now, I had the audio muted, but the visual was very graphic, knowing that at that time, it was 120 hostages, but now I know it's much more than that, had been taken. And who knows, again, how many men, women, and children are not allowed to leave. And today, they went in today with the dogs and with all the equipment they need to detect the booby trap bombs and everything. And I understand they've been able to free a number of the captives already, which praise the good Lord for that. And so, here, I'm going to give you a little short history lesson of Gaza. In fact, actually, Gaza is spoken of, you know, it's an interesting thing because the Bible talks about the more things change, the more they stay the same. And we see history repeating itself over and over and over. And now, meanwhile, back here on the home front, the communist leader, Joe Biden, and I mean he is a communist party leader, Joe Obama Biden, continues to bring in Hamas, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Chinese communist soldiers, CCP soldiers, Iranian special guard, royal guard, terrorists, into America. Now, this was planned, folks, during the Obama regime, and carried out by Biden. Again, here, there are, since Biden's been in office, over 7 million more. Add that to those that were already here, illegals in this country. And I'm afraid to say, we'll talk more about this later, but we're going to be having our own Gazas here in America, folks. The enemy is here. The enemy lives within us. And when you see your neighbor, the one that had the Joe Biden sign in his yard, or the one that has the vote yes on issue one, you know, thank them for what they did, helping Biden bring all of the terrorists into this country. And because they're just as responsible by voting and for bringing to Biden, knowing what he was about, knowing he was about death. And this is what This is what they're going to bring to us is death. But let's take a close look at the very first time that Gaza was mentioned in Scripture. We go back to Genesis chapter 10, starting with verse 15. And Canaan beget Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites' ties spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites went from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerat, unto Gaza, as thou goest into Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zoboam, even into Lasha. And these are the sons of Ham. And after their families were their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. And so here now, remember, Gaza was one of the cities of the plains. Now, the Sinite, the other nine sons of Canaan were the Canaanite tribes that inhabited the land when the Israelis entered it. The Amorites are identified in the tables as the Amura. The Sinites may be connected in ethnology with the wilderness of Sin and Mount Sinai in the south, and with the Assyrian god Sin, and even with Sinim in Isaiah 49:12, in fact, and the people of secular history called Sinai or Chinese. Where it says in verse 18, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. That statement becomes especially significant if intimated above the descendants of Canaan, including the Mongol tribes, who eventually spread not only throughout most of Asia, but also across the Bering Strait into North and South America, becoming where many historians and theologians believe that those are American Indians here today. In their nations, verse 20, where it says, and these are the sons of Ham, and their families, and their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Now, the division of the original population into nations was both after their other tongues and after their families, suggesting that each family living at Babel was given a distinctive tongue at the dispersion. Of course, that's what we believe. And here, so, again, there were nine Canaanite tribes. They were by the nine sons of Canaan. And the city of Gaza was first mentioned here almost 6,000 years ago. And then the next time Gaza is mentioned, we go over to Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 10, starting with verse 12, we read, well, here, you know, God's going to perform a miracle, an amazing miracle, because God had commanded the complete destruction of the five kings of the Amorites, that God extended the daytime to finish so that they would have time to finish the job. You know, it's an interesting thing, because what God commanded Joshua to do here, I heard it. Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel saying that he is going to do the very same thing with Hamas. So this is an interesting thing. Then spake Joshua to the Lord, and in the day, we're in verse 12, Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, and in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Aijalon. Now that's an interesting verse there, because there's a lot of people that think that the earth is stationary and the sun rotates around the earth. When he said this, we know, we believe, science is pretty sure that the sun stands still and the earth rotates around the sun. But it could be just a phrase, or, you know, for the people in those days who had no idea that the earth rotated around the sun. But anyhow, the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon the enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of the man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua turned, and all Israel with him, into the camp of Gilgal. But the five kings fled and had hid themselves in a cave at Makedath. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And say you not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass that when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, the rest which remained of them entered into the fenced cities. Now, I want to jump ahead here over to verses 40 and 43. And so we read here, and Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the valley, and of the springs. And all their kings he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even into Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even into Gibeon. And these kings and their land did Joshua take one at a time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all of Israel with him, unto the camp of Gilgal. Now, here we see that today, again, you have a lot of liberal theologians out there that believe that, and they say that God used excessive cruelty, God and Joshua. And it's an interesting thing how I hear these liberals that are so pro-abortion. I mean, you can't have enough abortion, killing enough babies. How these people today were saying how the God of the Old Testament was a cruel God. And they give examples saying, how can you justify killing of innocent children? Well, let me justify it this way. If they had left those innocent children to be raised by those heathen Philistine parents, what would have happened to them? Well, they would have become pagan. But we know this, and God, first of all, the children belong to God. He created them. And remember something else, too. God had said, I give life and I take it away and I can restore it. Well, those children that died, those innocent children that died, they went right to heaven. They go right to heaven. Because God is a just God. And there's no one that's, where it comes to being gracious and having mercy, being merciful, is our Lord. Our Lord is completely, but he's also a just and a holy God. And so in his mercy, he took those children home so they would spend eternity in heaven and not where so many, well, of their parents, and where most of the people in the world today are going to go. Now, when we talked about in verse 13, when he said, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, and the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies," is it not written in the book of Jasher? And so here now, that Amorite horde, though decimated, could still have escaped down the mountains, particularly as the day wore into night. But God had commanded their complete destruction. Listen, Joshua knew one thing. If God tells you to do it, do it. Don't question it. Just do it. And so thus this long day enabled the Israelites to finish the job. And so those whose iniquity was not yet full in Abraham's time were now irreclaimably evil. And God miraculously aided in their elimination. In verse 14, no day like that. The day was unique in history. And the main evidence that it really happened is the historical record. Not only as recorded in the Bible, and that's the main thing right there. If it's recorded in the Bible, if it's in God's Word, this God's Word is perfect truth. It's perfect truth here. But here, when it says, "And the lost book of Jasher," but in the legends and the traditions of all parts of the world, such legends of a long day are found in Greece. They're found in Egyptian writings, and ancient nation legends of a long night were found among the American Indians, South Sea Islanders, and others in Western Hemisphere. Reports are false, however, that a missing day turned up in a space program computer analysis of ancient chronology. Now, this report seems to have been a modern interpretation of a later 19th century astronomical calculation by followers of the British Israel belief. Now, this calculation had been based on arbitrary premise concerning the specific date of creation. In fact, a necessary starting point from which some attempted to calculate. And so he goes on. Now I want to turn now over to Joshua chapter 11, and I've got to wet my whistle here. As I often say every week, this is the third time I'm preaching this message here. So in Joshua chapter 11, starting in verse 21 through 23, again, here, and think about this, as we go through this, we're seeing history repeat itself. We're seeing what's happening right now today in Israel. We're seeing the very same thing that had happened already over and over. And so here, we start, and at that time came Joshua, and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, and from Hebron, and from Debir, and from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah. From all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And there was none of the Anakims. Now, the Anakims were the giants left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod, they remained. So here, some of the Anakim remained alive there. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses and Joshua, and gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. and the land arrested war. Well, you see, the Lord had given this land, of course, to Israel. But Daddy Bush, George Bush Sr., had gone and pressured Israel to give it to the Palestinians, or to the PLO. And that's how Hamas was actually created by the nation of Israel to eliminate the PLO. But their cure was worse than the disease when they created Hamas. Just like Obama had created ISIS. We have a clip that we play occasionally with a conversation that Obama was having, talking about now that ISIS is in place and we have supplied ISIS and they're ready to go. He built ISIS, and that ISIS is pure evil, absolutely pure evil. And so here I want to pick it up in Judges chapter 16. Now, Samson was a Nazarite from birth. Samson was a judge there in Israel for 20 years, and for 20 years when Samson was a judge, there was peace. Samson had a very sinful marriage to a Philistine woman against God's will and against his parents' will. And then Samson was betrayed. I mean, here, Samson, he was in a way like King David, and I guess I should say maybe in a way with a lot of you listening out there tonight. He had a heart for God. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. But Samson violated just about every law that a Nazarite could violate. Samson was never to trust it. To touch anything dead, he touched things dead. He was not to ever drink wine. He did that. He was not never let that touch his lips. He was never to curse. He was never allowed to curse. He did. He was never to let a razor, you know, hit his head, you know, touch his head, cut his hair, by being deceptive and lying. Now, again, like I said, he was a man after God's own heart in one sense, but in the other sense, he just kept messing up. And so he went and he took a wife against God's will. He was supposed to take a wife of his own people. His parents refused him. And then the woman that he took, she betrayed him. Her father gave her to another man, and Samson ended up going with a whore. And one thing Nazarites were never to do, and that was to have anything to do with whores. And so here, let's pick it up in chapter 16. As we start there in verse 1 of chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza. And again, this is another. Gaza's mentioned many, many times. A lot of things happened to that city of the plain Gaza. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot. And he went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight. And he took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to affect him, and he will give thee every one of us, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Well, here, one thing whores like more than sex is money. And so she went in to write for that. Now, here, again, Samson, you know, he had put the fear into these people. One thing, when he was there, they feared Samson. And like I said, there was peace. But he would do things. Well, for example, he ran across the lion and killed him with his bare hands and went on to his way. And on his way back, he passed the lion, and the bees had built a nest in the dead lion, and Samson, in the process of getting the honey, touched the dead lion. That was a no-no. Okay, he was not allowed to do that. And of course, now, obviously, he was not to lie with a whore. And here now, we see, and now not only is he going to lie with a whore, but he's going to lie to the whore too. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Well, here, Samson had to know what this woman was up to. But he had so much confidence in his strength, and yet he wasn't paying attention. Do not tempt the Lord. You are not to tempt the Lord. And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Well, those what he was talking about, those green withs, were bowstrings, with fresh bowstrings. Well, here, in other words, that they were bowstrings that were made, they were still wet, and they had not dried yet. And so here, when they dried, they were to stretch. And then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, think about this, folks. If you're Samson, right, and you wake up and you find yourself bound, now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson!" And he brake the withs as a thread of a tow. In other words, as if they were, a thread of a tow is yarn. It's like yarn. So he snapped these like they weren't even there. And when it touches the fire, so strength was not known. And so Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies." Well, you know, that's what you do when you lie with a whore, right? "Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightst be bound." This should have told Samson right there, you want to get out of here. You want to get as far away from this woman as you can get. And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as other men." In other words, these ropes that had never been used before. And if you bind him, so right, so what does she do? Now this guy knows, as he goes to sleep, Delilah therefore took the new ropes and bound him wherewith, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And so here now, the whore has to know Delilah has to know, look, this guy's playing with my head, right? But, again, to get 1,100 pieces of silver from each of those men, that had to be a lot of silver. And so she's not going to give up easy. She's going to betray Samson. Okay, she cares about the money. There was an interesting thing because there was a movie made about Samson and Delilah. And in the movie, after they had taken Samson and put his eyes out and bound him to the two pillars, then she goes in the movie and she's so sorry that she betrayed him, she loved him. She didn't want it. She threw the money away. She just wanted to spare Samson. Folks, that's what Hollywood does. Nothing even close to the truth. And so here, Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. So tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web, and she fastened it with a pin, and said unto him, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web." And that what that means is like the bottom of what they call loom there. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." Well, you kind of wonder how in the world she thinks that he loves her when it's very apparent that he doesn't trust her as far as he can throw her. And why he keeps telling her, he keeps playing with her head when he knows that this woman is going to betray him. And it came to pass that when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed into death, and he told her all of his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. So by this time, they had to be wondering, is this going to be another one of his yarns again? And by this time, Samson must have actually fallen in love with Delilah. And how you could fall in love with someone who who has betrayed you time and time again and is out to betray you into death. And she made him sleep upon her knee, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. See, his strength was not in his hair. Strength was in the Holy Spirit that dwelt within him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass and did grind in their prison house. Again, this is just one of many historic things that happened there at Gaza. You know, one was a miracle that happened there at Gaza. "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered him together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god." Dagon was the fish god. of those. And that hat that the Pope wears was a hat fashioned after the fish god Dagon, their god, and rejoiced, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Now, Samson was a tough one. I mean, he had slew a lot of them. He took the bone of an ass, and I don't know how many he had slown, killed with the jawbone of an ass, okay? Well, here, in fact, let me go back. "And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith." So so there he slew 1,000 of the enemy with a jawbone of an ass. And so now we see that he goes on and he said, "And when the people saw that, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands the enemy and destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made him sport. They set him between two pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I might lean upon them. So now the house was full of men and women, and all their lords of the Philistine, and there were there upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport." So now I had erred earlier. Out of memory, I had said 9,000, but it was 3,000. "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and with his right hand and one with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with all of the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all that is might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew and his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol, in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. So, there, another major event that happened in that ancient city of Gaza. And so now I want to go over to Amos chapter 1. And in Amos chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, we read this. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza." Now, think about this, because what's happening, the judgment, is exactly what's happening there today in Gaza. It's repeated itself several times. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom." What is Hamas doing to both the Israelis and the Americans that they've captured there, that have taken captive? They have taken them captive, and they're carrying them away into tunnels and whatever. "But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza." If you've been watching what Israel has been doing in the past week. They've been putting plenty of fire. I mean plenty of fire on the walls of Gaza. But I will send fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Boy, we've seen that happening. And I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Well, here, this is again exactly what's happening today. Hamas is going to suffer the very same fate that the Philistines suffered and the Ashkelon suffered. It's going to suffer the very same fate. And so now I want to, in fact, Gaza, Ashdod, and Ashkelon and Ekron were the main cities of the Philistines. And it's an interesting thing, too, because those that inhabited the cities, and you hear the city of Palestine was inhabited at one time by the Philistines, where it got its name. But the Philistines were eliminated down to the very last man, woman, and child. They were eliminated. But now the city of Palestine still exists. But folks, you often hear about talking about the country of Palestine. The Palestinian country. There was never a Palestinian country. Palestine, like Gaza and like Ashdod and the others, were cities. And so there was never a nation of people called Palestinians. There was a city, and the people that lived there were called Palestinians. And so, just like today in Cleveland, people live in Cleveland are called Clevelanders, okay? But again, you're hearing the news media, they really have propaganda. They have such a propaganda machine out there today. And so I want to go now here over to Zephaniah. And in Zephaniah chapter 2, and again, how often we see, again, history repeating itself over and over and over. And we pick it up in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted out. Again, this has happened, and again, it's happening again today as we're watching. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast. And boy, I don't know if you saw that there in the Mediterranean Sea, what Israel did to all those Hamas boats out there. They had, all of their boats that they used, basically, you might think that they used them, for fishing or whatever, but anyhow, Israel, it just burned them all, set them all out there on the coast on fire. They were all burnt down. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Sheratites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, and there shall be no inhabitants. And of course, that's exactly what did happen. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for their flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. Shall they lay down in the evening of the Lord, their God, shall visit them and turn away their captivity. From what I understand, there was a number of the hostages or captives that were taken that were freed today there in Israel. And I guess they're using trained dogs from what I understood, several hundred people had been freed by the use of these trained military dogs. And that's really interesting. So now today's Gaza, by the way, today's Gaza is not in the exact same location. Today's Gaza has moved a short distance from where the old Gaza was. They were both cities of the plain. And now I want to go to Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, I want to start with verse 26. And here, again, we're going back to Gaza. And we read, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Well, angelus means messenger. And normally when you hear, when the angel of the Lord is referred to, that is a Christophany. It means it's the Lord Jesus himself. And so here, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza," which is a desert. So, again, we're going to see, you know, for the third time tonight, miracles that took place in Gaza. "And he arose and went, and beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." That would have been the equivalent today of our Secretary Treasury General, okay? This fella had a lot of influence. He was in charge of a lot of the government work. And so, "And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet." So here this eunuch is sitting there, and he's reading from the Old Testament about Isaiah the prophet. "And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understanding thou what thou read? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a lamb, or as a sheep, to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." Well, anybody should recognize that passage. That's right out of Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Now, it's an interesting thing, because that there is only one man in all of history that Isaiah 53 applied to perfectly. I mean, just exactly perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled Isaiah 53, and that no one has ever come even close to fulfilling that prophecy as perfectly as the Lord Jesus. Now, here, this was an interesting thing, because you know that the Sanhedrin, that these Jewish leaders, they understood that. But even today, you'll rarely ever hear Isaiah 53 read in the synagogues. Why is that? Well, if you ask them and challenge them, say, what about Isaiah 53, which we have? And well, today, actually, there are some today now, actually, some Orthodox Jews that will say, yes, we realize, okay, we might as well admit the fact that that was about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the only one that could apply to. And so today there's a growing number of Orthodox Jews that recognize that Jesus Christ is Messiah. But unfortunately, they're holding to the teachings of some of the Judaizers, where they believe in salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, but also by keeping the law of Moses, and they also, again, will pray and they know the father Abraham, okay? And so they're not completely there, but they're on their way. They're on their way today. And so here, by the way, if you ask a number of these of the Jews, well, if that's not, if that does not apply to the Lord Jesus Christ, who does it apply to? They'll actually tell you that that actually applies to the nation of Israel. Well, there is no way in the world that you could ever take that Isaiah 53 and apply that into a nation of people. That just won't work, folks. I'm sorry. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So the place of the scripture which he was read, he was led as a sheep unto the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in this humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh thou this prophet, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the very same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I'm going to stop for just a second and whip my whistle. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see here, there's water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached into all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now Philip was taken from Gaza to Azotus, which is about, what was 20 miles away, right to, right along the Mediterranean seacoast, in fact. So he was again transferred. This was a third miracle here tonight that we've talked about that happened in Gaza. So there's a lot in the Bible written about Gaza, and of course, we didn't get through by any means all of it tonight. But when I preached this message today, I asked the people, how many of you realized that there was so much written about Gaza in the Word of God, and only one man in the entire, besides myself, only one man in the entire church knew that. So here, folks, for those today, and I'm hearing the apostate church out there is actually taking the side of Hamas. And I'm talking about the far left, United Church of the Antichrist and these others. They're actually taking the side. Why? Well, they're not actually Christian churches at all. In fact, they've apostatized. They're Antichrist, literally synagogues of Satan. And so here, for those that are professing Christians and are lining up behind Hamas, just take a very good look at who you're aligned with. BLM, formerly Black Lives Matter, now Burn, Loot, and Murder. LGBTQ. Lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, or as one pastor said, let God burn them quickly, okay? God's Word, the Bible is very, very clear when it comes to sodomite. That was the very first time that word was used, was to describe sodomy. Uh, They're lining up again between Hamas, okay, Antifa, the NAACP, the Squat, Harvard Law School. And by the way, boy, that really backfired on Harvard Law School, because the word went out from all of those that had graduated from Harvard, the alumni. The word went out not to hire any lawyers from Harvard now. And so those are all the George Soros-backed terrorists. ISIS, they've aligned up with ISIS. They've aligned with the PLO. They've aligned up with Hezbollah, with Al-Qaeda, with the Iranian, what they call, Royal Guard. Now, and I'm sure that behind the curtain, you'll have people from the ACLU, Planned Parenthood. Now, they can't come out openly and do it because, you know, the Bible speaks about the difference between the seed of Abraham and the sons of Abraham. Those that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You have most of those out there today, people in the, like Jezebel or Baal prophets. You have Hillary. You have today Jamie Raskin, Jerry Nadler, Chucky Schumer. There are so many George Soros-backed who may be the seed. They may have be Jewish names. But I truly believe behind the scenes they're going to betray Israel, just like George Soros did. So, anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. And I just want to tell you, we're in for some very interesting days. We're going to have our own Gazas here. Thanks to Obama. Thanks to Joe Biden. Thanks to those that voted for them. Folks, we've got millions of illegal aliens. We've got hundreds and thousands today in this country that are terrorists in this country. And they have come out and they have said, Hamas has come out and said, along with Al-Qaeda, that America is going to feel their wrath, that they're going to have terrorist attacks in America. So, folks, the main thing for you to understand is this. You're going to die one way or the other, and that's not a tragedy. Everybody's going to die, but to die in your sin is a tragedy. So the most important thing that you could possibly do if you have not received Christ as your Savior is to do that, and do it very soon. And what do? You pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness of your sin. You ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. They will always honor that. They look upon your heart. And then you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and be indwelt with the Holy Spirit, if you mean it. Now, when I say that, I'm telling you that you've got God's word upon that. You've got God's word upon that. And there's nothing as strong and nothing as sure as the word of God. Like the Lord Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. So let me tell you, there's nothing that will mean as much to you, nothing that will mean as much to you as you're standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't die in your sin. You can never undo it. Now, we are out of time tonight, like we get to this time every night. So, as we get here, we always say, good night. We always say, God bless. And tonight, we're going to say, always, 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 keep fighting the fight.
For listening to the voice of the Christian resistance, What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else.
We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.